And now, Virgin Most Powerful Radio is pleased to present Hands-On Apologetics with renowned Catholic author and apologist, Gary Matuta.
And welcome, everybody. Hands-On Apologetics. You have entered into the Apologetics Zone, the Virgin Most Powerful Apologetics Dojo. I'm Gary Matuta, your sensei. Well, actually, I'm going to be the, I guess you could say I'm going to be the referee, Bobby, because we're going to have one of the most unusual shows that I think we've ever had in the history of Hands-On Apologetics. And that is that we're going to be talking about part of... I guess comic lore, would you say that, Bobby?
Yeah, and it's kind of an unusual format because I've never heard a show where a guest interviews another guest.
Yeah, right.
Which is kind of what we're doing today.
So in case you're wondering, we're going to be talking about Batman. Batman, is he a saint, superhero, or neither? And since I don't know very much about the comic universe, I brought in an expert, in my humble opinion.
Nerd.
And the person who's sitting next to me is Bobby Hesley. Bobby Hesley is an apologist here in Southeast Michigan. He's done numerous talks, especially with youth and adults. He's been on the show, too. This is not the first time you come into the dojo.
Number five, I think.
Five? Okay, yeah.
If you don't count the troll call that I made a few weeks ago when we interviewed our good friend Stephen Piskorowski.
That's right. So for those watching on live stream, by the way, I should do my shout-outs for those watching a social media live stream on YouTube and Facebook. Hello, everybody. And as you can see, Bobby's here in the dojo sitting right next to me. And it's fun because we got the headsets on. It's almost like play-by-play.
Yeah.
And so what we're going to do is we're going to take a Catholic look at Batman. And so Bobby's going to be running the show. I'm going to be the timekeeper, the referee. I should have worn my striped shirt.
Yeah, you know that would have been good.
So plaid, I guess, is close enough to stripe. And
yeah.
Also, on the other side of the conversation, we have yet another person who I consider an expert in the field, and that is none other than Jimmy Akin. Jimmy Akin is the director of apologetics for Catholic Answers. He also has a really great podcast that you should check out called Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World. And you can check out all the stuff on his site, jimmyakin.com. And by the way, Bobby, if you look to your right at the social media part of the dojo, that is the explosion emojis that greets me every program.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Nice.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking
about... Got some loyal fans there, Gary.
Right. Yeah, so that's the part. I'm just showing around at different parts of the dojo.
Yeah.
And I know that Batman is a very important figure for you, isn't he?
He is. He is. I mean, I know, you know, when people think of superhero, the first thing that comes to mind is Superman. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got super in his name, so I'm sure that probably makes it easy to conjure him up as a reaction. But, yeah, I mean, I've got a lot of respect for Batman for lots of different reasons that I look forward to actually getting Jimmy Akin's take on and hearing his take as well about, you know, why Batman's such an incredible hero.
Very good. Hey, well, since Jimmy's up, Jimmy, welcome to Hands-On Apologetics.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. So you're going to be talking with Bobby. I'm just going to be the timekeeper. I'll get out of the way of you two. But okay. Bobby was just telling me that, you know, how Batman is certainly up in, what would you say, your top five superheroes, maybe?
Yeah, I'd put him in the top three, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But, Jimmy, what do you think about Batman?
Well, I enjoy Batman very much. I consider him one of the two archetypal superheroes, the other being Superman. They represent the two basic approaches to being a superhero. Actually, my all-time favorite is not a single hero. It's a group. Growing up, I read the Legion of Superheroes, which was a group of superheroes in the 31st century. So you have both superheroes and science fiction, and I couldn't ask for more than that. So they're my all-time favorites. But in terms of 20th century superheroes, Batman is one that I read. I read the current Batman stories. I've read Batman for a long time. And I appreciate the way Batman does things. I appreciate things both about Batman and Superman, but I'm closer to Batman. Batman has a certain strategic and practical way of dealing with things. Superman's a little more idealistic, could be a little more not considered a little more naive on some occasions. I actually have a friend, I don't think I've ever mentioned this before, but I have a friend who, he and I have somewhat different personalities, and at times when we're talking about how to deal with an issue, he'll have a little bit more of a Superman approach, and I'll have a little bit more of a Batman approach to how to deal with the issue. And so he actually refers to me on when we hit one of those situations as Bruce, and I refer to him as Cal.
Nice. Love it. Love it. So, Jimmy, kind of related to what you just said. I mean, obviously we know that, you know, Batman has no superpowers. He's, which I see as a plus. I mean, he's one of us, right? He's a Homo sapien. He's not a Kryptonian or an Asgardian or, you know, a Martian like the Martian Manhunter. He's one of us. So having that in mind, Jimmy, yeah. what makes him a superhero to you? I know you talked about you like the methodical, strategic way he does things. You know, what other qualities about him make him a superhero to you?
Well, he's the fact that he saves people and lots of people, and he takes on very disproportionate threats. Even though he doesn't have superpowers, some of the people he has to fight do have superpowers. I mean, think about, for example, Poison Ivy. You know, she has all kinds of fantastic abilities that deal with plants. In fact, in a recent storyline within the last couple of years, I mean, she basically had used her plant-based powers to brainwash huge numbers of people. But despite the fact he's just an ordinary human being, he's trained himself, he's driven, he's very methodical, he thinks very strategically. He's clearly the smartest person in the Justice League. And he plans for every contingency, including what happens if fellow superheroes go rogue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, Jimmy, because for those of you that are into this, if you go on YouTube and just type in, you know, Batman, you know, Justice League, one of the most popular videos you'll find is him. He actually made case files on each member of the Justice League. He studied them, and he actually talks about, you know, what Jimmy just mentioned, that if they were to go rogue, he talks about their greatest strengths, but he also talks about their greatest weaknesses. And he actually crafted, you know, weapons and protocols that were based on their weaknesses. So in an ironic way, you know, like you said, Jim, he kind of is one of the most powerful members of the Justice League, even though technically you could say that he's one of the weakest because, you know, he's human like us. Have you ever seen that video, Jimmy, that 5-minute clip where he goes into the contingencies if they go rogue?
I haven't seen that one, but it's a theme that's been explored in the comics, at least as far back as Frank Miller's The Dark Knight, where he and Superman get into a fight, and Batman reveals that he actually, despite his lack of superpowers, has the ability to beat Superman. I mean, he's that good of a strategist that he's able to come up with things, including, you know, kryptonite that he can use to actually win a battle with Superman. And more recently, there has been a storyline in the Justice League comic where Batman's contingency plans kind of fell into the wrong hands, and it was used against the League. But it that's something that obviously he had to eat some humble pie for. But the fact that he thought through in advance how to deal with such situations is, you know, a testament to his prowess as a superhero, even if on this occasion it got abused.
Absolutely. Yeah, and what strikes me the most about that, you know, those contingency plans he made is, you know, he even included himself in that. And, you know, and he mentioned how his greatest weakness was being he gets triggered by helpless victims because of what he saw happen to his parents. So he said, you know, if you want to take him down, like, you know, have a hostage, you know. But yeah, before we go to the break here, Jimmy, I wanted to read a couple sentences from one of the paragraphs of the Summa in relation to the virtual fortitude. And I would love to get your take on how you feel that applies to Batman. So St. Thomas says, this is from Article 123, Question 5 of the second part of the Summa. And it says, fortitude strengthens a man's mind against the greatest danger, which is that of death. Now, fortitude is a virtue, and it is essential to virtue ever to tend to good. Consequently, it is in order to pursue some good that man does not fly from the danger of death. On the other hand, the dangers of death which occur in battle come to man directly on account of some good, because to wit, he is defending the common good by a just fight. And then he ends it by saying, accordingly, it must be granted that fortitude is properly about the dangers of death occurring in battle. So how do you feel that applies to Batman?
Well, it's obviously, it applies to him in a direct way. The interesting thing, or an interesting thing from my perspective, is when you listen to how Aquinas is treating this virtue, he discusses it in relation to the greatest evil of death, but death actually isn't the greatest evil, at least not physical death. Spiritual death is.
Absolutely.
And Batman is, but the reason for that is Aquinas is drawing here on the four virtues from Greek philosophy, which are natural virtues that don't have the supernatural frame of reference that the three theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity bring into it. So he's right. Dealing here purely on a natural level. And on the natural level, death is the greatest evil. And so without that spiritual dimension, it is the greatest threat. And dealing with it is something that does require fortitude, bravery in battle, it, being willing to take on great dangers in order to avoid even greater dangers on the same level. Some people are willing to sacrifice themselves in order to save other people. And obviously, Batman is someone who's willing to do that. He displays great fortitude, and it's precisely because he doesn't have the advantages that Superman or other superheroes do that displays his fortitude in a special way.
Very good. You listen to Hands On Apologetics, folks. More to come on the other side of the break. Stay tuned.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda. If you'd like to join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Gary.
And welcome back, everybody. Hands-on Apologetics. And, you know, it is the Apologetics Dojo. And I actually was going to announce both of you as being in separate corners, like it's a fight. But this is more of a friendly conversation. And the topic is Batman, saint, superhero, or neither. So, Bobby, take it away.
Yeah, and you know, your closing statement there, Jimmy, I love how you drew the distinction between, you know, the natural classical virtues of the, you know, the pagan philosophers and the theological virtues, and how, you know, they say that death is their greatest fear. And it almost reminds me of Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 20, where scripture talks about the second death, which is that death you mentioned, the spiritual death of, you know, not dying in a state of grace. So I thought that was a great point. So, yeah, my next question, I mean, you know, we can't really relate. Here's why I like Batman better than Superman, like on a personal level, is that we can't really relate to heroes like Superman because he's, you know, he's pretty much indestructible. But the main reason I can't relate to him is the villains he fights are so over the top that in a way you kind of have to suspend disbelief. And, you know, some of them are outright ridiculous, like Mr. Mixaplick and some of these other unknown villains. But, you know, Batman, on the other hand, he has a much more realistic, you know, rogue of villains that he fights, you know, his famous Rogues Gallery. And for those of you who don't know, the Rogues Gallery is what we Batman fans call, you know, his villains. And they're almost like a gallery just because of how awesome they are, like the Joker, the Penguin, Mr. Freeze, Bane, Scarecrow, Ra's al Ghul, you'll name it. So, Jimmy, who is your favorite villain or villains from Batman's Rogues Gallery?
Oh, it's got to be the Joker. He's the classic Batman opponent, and there's just all kinds of fascinating stuff with him. He's the most psychologically complex in some ways. I mean, people think of him as if he's just absolute nuts, and sometimes he is, but he also has the most complex psychological relationship with Batman. This is seen, for example, in Alan Moore's graphic novel, The Killing Joke. Which there's a kind of bond that exists personally between Batman and the Joker that gets explored there. It's also been explored more recently. One of the kind of overarching stories that the current main Batman writer, a guy named Tom King, has been exploring is, can Batman ever find happiness? And because his origin is driven by the fact he saw his parents murdered right in front of him. And that's what drove him to become Batman. And it's resulted in a tortured life. In terms of relatability, even though I can relate to Batman on some levels, if it was who do I want to hang out with more, Superman or Batman, I'd probably want to hang out more with Superman because he's not tortured. He's a little friendlier to be around, but with Batman, there's a question psychologically that Tom King has been exploring of if he ever found happiness, and the tortured aspect was diminished, would he still be able to be Batman? And so there's been an ongoing romance with Catwoman, which has been there for years. It's on and off. But King picked it up and actually got the two of them engaged. And they went all the way up to the wedding and then bailed at the last minute. And because this is a multi-year, and I actually have some criticisms about the way King handled that or the way DC handled that. But because this is a multi-year arc that King is exploring, I suspect Batman will eventually marry Catwoman. But the thing that derails their wedding, at least at the current phase of the story, is the Joker, because he's got this bond with Batman. Once he learns that Batman is engaged to be married, he immediately decides he has to be the best man.
And interesting.
So he decides to he starts actually shooting up a church and to lure Batman and Catwoman there. And talk his way into being best man. And when Batman gets there, the Joker holds himself hostage in order to get Batman to listen, because, you know, Batman could defeat the Joker physically in battle. So the Joker actually points a gun under his own chin and threatens to blow off his head if Batman doesn't get down on his knees and pray to God with him. And the two of them actually do. And there's this moment where, you know, they're both silently praying, and then the Joker says amen, and Batman says amen. Wow. And the Joker talks about, and you never know what the Joker says is true or not, but he talks about how his mom was Catholic, and talks about St. Augustine, if I recall correctly. And then in the aftermath of this, when the Joker is talking to Catwoman, he plants the seed in her mind that Batman can't go on being Batman if he ever finds happiness. And she realizes that being Batman is Bruce Wayne's fundamental commitment. And if she were to marry him and he found happiness, he would lose his anchor in life. And so she actually, for now at least, walks away from the wedding in order to enable him to continue being Batman.
Interesting.
Can I throw in a question?
Sure,
real quick?
Absolutely.
Jimmy, I know I can speak for all the listeners. During the wedding ceremony, did they wear their mask or not? And is that an infraction on canon law?
They never got to the wedding ceremony. It would not violate the letter of the law for them to be dressed a certain way. However, it one could argue that it would violate the spirit of the law and be inappropriate. But okay. You could make a counter argument. I mean, military soldiers sometimes get married wearing their military dress. And sure. So you could argue this is Batman's equivalent of that.
Interesting. You know, Jimmy, I got to say, you're living rent free inside of my head with what you just went into with Batman and Catwoman getting married, because my next question to you was actually about that. Basically, there's a mental institution outside the city limits, for those of our listeners that may not be familiar with this. Outside the city limits of Gotham, there's an institution called the Elizabeth Arkham Asylum for the Criminally Insane. Okay, so it's not just a mental hospital where if you're kind of depressed and kind of down on your luck and you need some supervision for a few weeks, you go. No, this is for the criminally insane, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's known to us Batman fans as simply Arkham Asylum. So my question to you, Jimmy, which I think dovetails really nicely to what you just said, it's been said that a man who deals with the trauma of, you know, seeing his parents murdered when he was a boy by dressing up like a bat and stalking criminals at night is actually just as insane as the criminals and villains that he fights, and that he also belongs in Arkham Asylum. So what are your thoughts on that? And if you could, Jimmy, you know, are you very familiar with the Arkham Asylum, either comic book series or game series, or, you know, what do you think of that?
Well, I'm not familiar with modern video games. I don't really play those, but I'm certainly familiar with it from the comics and from, you know, some of the spinoff media. And for people who are aware of it, they may be wondering, well, where have I heard the name Arkham before? And actually, it's taken from the writings of H.P. Lovecraft, who was in the first part of the 20th century. He was an American science fiction horror writer, and he set a lot of his stories in a town called Arkham, Massachusetts, which is loosely based on Salem, Massachusetts. But if you're wondering where have I heard the word Arkham before, it's from that. Okay. So the at DC they did that as kind of an homage to H.P. Lovecraft and all of his creepy stories by having this asylum as the place for all of their biggest insane creeps. Batman's sanity is something that is very interesting. There's not a single take on Batman. This is one of the things when you get into comic book fandom, you realize that, you know, you have these franchises that go on for decades. You know, Batman has been around since the late 1930s, and over the course of time, in order to keep things fresh, you need to come in with a new take on the character from time to time. And so some versions of Batman are much less tortured. The classic one for that, obviously, is the 1960s Batman, especially as portrayed on the TV show, which was very positive, very campy. It was a lot of fun, but it wasn't very serious. It wasn't serious at all. And that's you know, spilled over into the comics to some degree at that point. And then there was kind of a return to the darker Batman after the TV show went off the air. The original version of Batman was quite dark. He did not yet have his no killing rule. And so he carried a gun with real bullets, and he, you know, broke a guy's neck once, who was looking out of a window as Batman swung by. He broke the criminal's neck. So that was actually a very dark original understanding of Batman. And eventually they gave him the no killing ethic, which I think serves the character well. There can be other anti-heroes like the Punisher that don't have a no killing ethic, but Batman, to make him a hero rather than just an anti-hero, he needs that no killing ethic. And so then there are different iterations of Batman. Like if you look at the DC animated universe, like on the Batman cartoon from the 90s, or the movies that spun off of that, or the Justice League cartoon, you had a lighter version of Batman. He was still somewhat dark, but he was, there's no way you would describe him as crazy.
Sure.
I remember watching a scene where Wonder Woman is exploring the idea of maybe having a romance with Batman, and he instantly squashes it. This is in the Justice League TV series. He instantly squashes it, saying, "You're an Amazon princess, and I'm a rich kid with problems, lots of problems."
Wow.
And there's no way that guy is crazy. But in other iterations of the character, the line between sanity and insanity and just how different is Batman from the psychopaths he deals with is explored. And in some iterations of the character, he crosses the line, and although he's not a psychopath in any standard presentation of the character, he does have very significant mental issues. In some iterations of the character, the thing that keeps him from being a psychopath is he has empathy. That's what psychopathy is it's a pronounced empathy deficiency, to where you don't understand how other people feel emotions. And the Joker and many of the other criminals Batman deals with could be classified as psychopaths. They don't have proper empathy, but Batman does have empathy, and that's what drives him to save people. He may not have perfectly realized empathy, so in some iterations of the character, so that he does brutal things to save other people, but there still has to be a fundamental core of empathy there to drive him to do what he does.
Absolutely. And what's interesting is Jason Todd actually held Batman's empathy against him, because he blamed him for, the way the Joker, mm-hmm. Mutilated him.
Right.
Yeah. Well, he shouldn't have blamed them. He should have blamed the DC fans, because they were the ones responsible for Jason Todd's death. For people who may not know that story, after Dick Grayson stopped being Robin and went off to become Nightwing, there was a second Robin named Jason Todd, and we'll talk about him on the other side of the break.
Yep. Very good. You're listening to Hands On Apologetics, folks. More on the other side with Bobby Hesley and Jimmy Akin.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. There's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, "I want my husband to be on fire for the faith." Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference, or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith, because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support, because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Jesse Romero. You're listening to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
We are doing apologetics, folks, because we need to relate to people, you know, and sometimes you have to use the culture. And trust me, today, DC, Marvel, they are in the driver's seat as far as entertainment and just part of the public dialogue.
No doubt.
So today we're exploring Batman, Saint, superhero, or neither. And in the show is we have Bobby Hesley, who's been on Hands-On Apologetics a couple of times, a great apologist in his own right, and also the great Jimmy Akin from Catholic Answers. And Bobby, I'll just hand it off to you.
Yeah, and Jimmy, you were wanting to talk about Nightwing, about how Jason Todd kind of took the reins from Dick Grayson.
Well, yeah, so after Dick Grayson, he was the original Robin, and after Dick Grayson grew up, he became a hero named Nightwing, and Batman got a new Robin, who was named Jason Todd. He worked with Batman for a few years, and then, frankly, as a kind of publicity stunt, DC created a storyline where the Joker was threatening to kill Jason Todd, and they left the decision of will Jason Todd die up to the readers. And so they had a 900 number. 900 numbers were like 800 numbers, except you had to pay a dollar or something to call them. If you wanted Jason Todd to live, then you called one number. If you wanted him to die, you called another number. And a fractionally larger number of people called the death line than the lifeline. And so Jason Todd ended up dying in one of the most widely criticized decisions these days. He remained dead for a number of years, but because in comic books, no one stays dead except Uncle Ben and Bucky, and now not even Bucky anymore. Jason Todd eventually returned and kind of held Batman responsible for his death. But I would really blame the DC executives and the bloodthirsty fan segment for that.
A democratic death of sorts. So yeah. Once somebody, the last time a big corporation made it a democratic issue to vote on what should be done with their products, we ended up with the death of Jason Todd and blue M&Ms, neither which came out very well. So
I'm
here's
okay
kind
with
of
blue M&Ms.
Yeah, for sure. So, Jimmy, what do you think of the age-old debate about whether or not it would be a fair fight between Batman and Superman? Because, you know, people are always bagging on Batman for having kryptonite on him so he can weaken Superman, and how unfair that is. Like, oh, well, you know, if he didn't have kryptonite, he wouldn't stand a chance against Superman. And they say if you strip away Batman's limitless wealth and his prep time to study his opponent's weaknesses, that he'd just be an ordinary guy who'd get squished like a bug in a fight against Superman. So I've got my own take on that, but I'm curious to hear what yours is.
Well, I would say that if you're basically saying take away all of Batman's resources, can he beat Superman if you do that? Well, obviously not.
Right.
But that's not a fight between Batman and Superman. That's a fight between Superman and a disarmed Bruce Wayne. And that's not a fair fight, because Superman can beat anybody if you strip away all their resources. So you need to look at, if you really want to have a Superman versus Batman fight, you need to look at who Batman is and let him be Batman. He needs to be able to draw on all of his resources, including his intellectual ones. And while kryptonite may be one way that that Batman could beat Superman. It is far from the only way. There are other ways to take down Superman, and Bruce Wayne is smart enough to engineer those if need be.
Sure. Yeah, that, I agree. And you know, what I always say back to people who say, oh, you know, Batman's a cheater. You know, he's got to have, you know, kryptonite on him. I said, well, if you think about it, you know, Superman is who he is. And what people don't, you know, remember is that Superman gets his powers from the yellow sun. So take away the yellow sun. That'd almost be like me saying, well, we should take away the yellow sun and just let Superman be who he is, you know, which.
Yeah, or expose Superman to gold kryptonite, which permanently removes Kryptonian's powers, and then let him fight Bruce Wayne unarmed. An unarmed Bruce Wayne and a post-gold K Superman, Bruce Wayne is going to win every time.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's kind of like a false equivalency there. Like, let Batman be who he is, let Superman be who he is, and may the best man win. And what's interesting is you brought up Frank
Just
Miller.
Just don't bring
you know.
Up Martha.
Exactly. You know, for those of you who don't know, Batman and Superman, both of their mom's names are Martha. So that was kind of a, you know, I got to be honest, Jimmy, now that you mentioned that, I thought it was a pretty cool connection. Were you one of the fans who kind of savaged that with the way Zack Snyder did that in Batman v Superman?
I don't savage it. So for people who may not be aware, in the Batman v Superman movie, it draws on the Dark Knight storyline where you have this conflict between Superman and Batman. And at the height of the conflict, Batman is about to kill Superman. And Superman says, save Martha. And he's thinking of his mom, who's still alive in this version. And it humanizes Superman for a moment in Batman's mind. And he pulls back from killing him. And you know, there's an element of psychological plausibility there to strike that chord based on a longstanding piece of superhero trivia that, both of their moms are named Martha, Martha Kent and Martha Wayne. But on the other hand, a lot of people criticized it for it's like, oh, wow, I suddenly realized this guy has a mom. He can't be all bad.
Yeah.
Well, you know, okay, but you previously thought he's so dangerous, you have to do this. And the realization he has a mom doesn't change the threat level he represents. And so it's easy to mock that. I personally, I can see it both ways. I kind of come down in the middle on that.
Okay. I think in my mind, I think the key thing around that whole thing, I just think his trigger word got hit. I mean, Martha. I mean, if his mom's name was Susie or Sally, I think that may have I think Superman probably would have ended up taking a swing in the chest, you know?
Yeah, and you could say that precisely because Bruce Wayne saw Martha Wayne die in front of his eyes in the defining moment of his life, that he's going to have a disproportionate reaction to that word than a normal person would.
Absolutely, absolutely. So before we come up on the next break, kind of to shift it in a different direction, Jimmy, how do you feel Batman's never-ending struggle against the Gotham Rogues Gallery relates to our own need to engage in, like, never-ending spiritual warfare? Like, what can Catholics learn from Batman about how to fight the spiritual battle that we're all called to fight by virtue of the Sacrament of Confirmation?
Don't give up. That would be my first take.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much more I would have to say about that. Obviously, there continue to be evils in the world. And, you know, in Batman's fictional world, there will always be evils for him to fight. In our world, there are always evils for us to fight until the second coming. And so we need to stay in the battlefield and do our job. We may need to regroup and retrench at times. Even Jesus went on retreat and got away from ministry so he could rest and pray. So we need to do that too, but ultimately we need to reengage our mission.
Absolutely. And what I take from that, I guess the thing I respect about Batman is that, like you mentioned early in the program, Jimmy, his foes are, you know, if you compare them, almost supernatural compared to Batman. He's so outmatched and so outsized by these incredible threats of these rogues. And, you know, I always see that like the battle between the human and the fallen angelic. I mean, the devil, you know, we shouldn't fear the devil, but we should respect the devil. I mean, he is a fallen angel. I always think if he was able to bring down our first parents when they were in their state of perfection, when they didn't have concupiscence, and he still nailed them and got them to fall from grace, that's a respectable foe. And, you know, one thing I think about Batman is that, you know, he rushes headlong into danger against these foes who are so much more powerful than him. And I think us as Catholics, we can learn from that. I mean, the dark side, we are more powerful than them because of, you know, Christ and Our Lady and the sacraments. But, you know, we should have the respect for them that Batman has for his foes. And that's why he studies them the way he does. And he takes his time to prepare, you know, to prepare for the battle.
And that's something I was just going to bring out, which is it's not just the virtue of fortitude that Batman has. Among the classical virtues, the master virtue is prudence.
Yep.
And that's really the thing that enables Batman to take on these super powerful forces. He has the virtue of prudence. He studies things out. He does not simply blindly rush into battle. He prepares himself very well for the threats he's going to be encountering. And we need to do the same. We need to exercise the virtue of prudence in how we approach the challenges we have to face. We shouldn't just blindly rush at them and assume everything's going to work out just great without us having planned in any way for what we're going to encounter.
Absolutely. And that reminds me of how Aquinas, I love how he distills all the virtues and breaks them into parts. And in the Summa, when he talks about prudence, he breaks that virtue into eight parts, one of which is foresight. And Batman has that in droves. So, yeah, that's a great point, Jimmy. Anything you want to add, Gary?
No, I'm just marveling, I guess you could say.
No, you're DCing, not
DCing,
marveling.
Okay. I'm actually what I'm doing is thanking God that you're taking over the host of responsibilities. And I'm learning a lot too. So actually, we're just about to come on the break. For those who are just tuning in, yeah, you're listening to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Matuta, but we have two master apologists in the dojo. To my right is Bobby Hesley in studio, and also on the phone is master apologist Jimmy Akin. And we're talking about Batman, and maybe on the other side of the break, we could kind of dive a little bit more into, we talked a little bit about whether Batman's a saint, at least he's exercising virtues. Maybe we could talk about whether he's a superhero or neither, you know, the rest of the thing. So
I was going to say, we need to hit those questions directly.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, yeah. So you are part of the program, folks. So if you'd like to ask a question to our Cape Crusaders, I don't know, Jimmy, do you wear a cape? I know Bobby does, but not in public.
I actually have a cape, but it's not a Batman cape. It's a part of a period costume for English country dancing.
Oh, nice. All right. So give us a call at 888-526-2151. It's 888-526-2151. Love to hear from you. And more to come on the other side of the break, so please stay tuned, everyone.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda. If you'd like to join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Gary.
And welcome back, Hands-On Apologetics. We are here with Bobby Hesley and Jimmy Akin talking about Batman, Saint, superhero or neither. And actually, Jimmy, let me throw a quick question from our live stream from YouTube. These knives ask, so what do we tell our small kids about superheroes? Just finished Mystagogi.
From a Catholic point of view, superheroes are characters in fiction, and they're to be evaluated and appreciated just like any other characters in fiction. There are some superheroes who are admirable in many ways. There are other superheroes who are less admirable. These days, there is some content in comic books and in spinoff media like movies that is in conflict with Christian values, but there's also a lot that is in harmony with Christian values. And so the trick for a parent, and I'm not a parent myself, but applying the principles, the trick for a parent in helping their children relate to this aspect of culture, like any other aspect of culture they're going to encounter, is to help them guide them initially towards, you know, expressions of it that are more in harmony with Christian values, and then helping them understand which aspects may not always be, and making it age appropriate for them. But, you know, superheroes do represent a positive ideal fundamentally, helping other people, saving other people from danger. There are at times spiritual messages that are even consciously intended by the creators of the comic books to be there. Superman's story, it has often been pointed out, is similar and in some ways based on the story of Moses. At other times, Superman is used as a Christ figure. And so just like we find parallels to religious themes in other literature, we find it here too, and that's something that can be explored and drawn upon. But as with everything, I would say heed St. Paul's dictum from 2 Thessalonians, test everything and hold fast to what is good. So use critical thinking.
Very good. Well, why don't we address head-on the actual title of the program, Batman, Saint, Superhero, or Neither. Jimmy, why don't you take it first?
Well, per Aquinas, we're going to have to define our terms. What do you mean by saint? Well, one usage of that term is for a person who has been canonized by the Catholic Church. Has Batman been canonized by the Catholic Church? No. So Batman is not a saint in that sense. Another sense of the word saint is someone who is in heaven. Is Batman dead and in heaven? No. So he's not a saint in that sense. Another sense of the word saint is a person who is a conscious follower of God, and the Bible uses the term this way both for Jews and for Christians. Is Batman a conscious religious believer? That's ambiguous. There are numerous stories that imply he has a Christian background. Some have suggested that he might even be Catholic. Others have suggested that that Episcopalianism mm-hmm. would be a more likely background for him. However, he doesn't show these days, even though he did pray to God in that Best Man Joker story. Silently, we don't have evidence of ongoing religious practice on a regular basis on his part, and it's hard to see how that would square with the playboy lifestyle he maintains in the day and the crime-fighting lifestyle he maintains in the evening. So I don't think you could call him a saint in that sense. Another sense, though, is a person who displays great virtue. And Batman does display great virtue, so you might be able to call him a saint in that sense, except he also is very tortured. And at times, in some versions of the character, he can be very brutal. And you might say, well, he's not really behaving like a saint here. On the other hand, there have been martial saints. Saints who were soldiers, who were fighters, and you could say, well, he could be considered a saint in that sense. Finally, there's the sense of a person who goes to heaven. And even though he's not dead yet, it's hard for me to imagine Batman not going to heaven in the DC universe. So I think even if he doesn't behave in a saintly manner all the time, he's ultimately going to end up a saint in the DC universe whenever he might die, in the sense of being a person who goes to heaven.
Interesting. Now, would that be DC heaven, or would this be something similar to the actual heaven?
Well, DC heaven interlocks with actual heaven in some interesting ways.
Okay. Just, I want to clarify that. Bobby, maybe you want to talk, what's your opinion on the saint?
You know, I think Jimmy said it all. I can't think of anything to add to it, to be honest. I mean, he nailed it pretty good.
Okay, what about superhero? Is Batman truly a superhero?
Well, since I did the last one, Bobby, you wanted to have first crack on this one?
Sure. I mean, I would say in one sense, yes, because, you know, kind of like we've been talking about in the when you look at the classical virtues, the cardinal virtues of prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance, you know, from a Christian perspective, from the baptized Thomistic, you know, because that's why we love Aquinas, is he baptized a lot of pagan principles and he Christianized them. Or as Augustine said, he was taking back what was rightfully ours, because, you know, natural law is part of it, comes from the same author of Nature and of Grace. So I would say he encompasses the four cardinal virtues pretty well. Prudence, you know, Jimmy, I think, did a great job of explaining that, about his foresight, the way he plans and studies his foes. He doesn't foolishly run headlong into danger without preparation. I think the cardinal virtue of justice, I mean, that would probably sum up Batman maybe even more than fortitude, because the whole theme of Batman's, you know, crusader existence is to right the wrongs that started when he was a little boy, to make sure that no one else ever has to suffer through the horrible trauma of seeing their parents murdered or robbed or other things. So that's kind of his thing. Also, his no killing policy. You know, if he were to kill even the worst criminal like the Joker, in his mind, that would make him no better than the criminals who killed his parents. So I think he encapsulates the cardinal virtue of justice pretty well. Obviously, we spent enough time about how he encapsulates fortitude, which I think he does, but also the virtue of temperance. I mean, if you look at the lifestyle of a guy who's a multi-billionaire, I mean, he's brought himself to the peak of human capability. I think he knows, and Jimmy might know this better than me, I think he knows 12 different languages, knows 100 different fighting styles of martial arts, trained himself in psychology, trained himself in criminology, trained himself in chemistry. So when it comes to the virtue of temperance, maybe Batman has that more than Bruce Wayne does, because, you know, like Jimmy mentioned, he does live kind of like a playboy type lifestyle.
I think that's an act, though. It's the fundamental thing is he is actually very temperate.
Yes, absolutely. Like Rachel Dawes said at the end of Batman Begins, his real mask is Bruce Wayne.
Batman. What's your take, Jimmy?
So it's going to depend on how we define superhero. If by that you mean a hero who has superpowers, then he wouldn't qualify. But he's commonly reckoned as a superhero, not because of his power level, intrinsic powers, but because of the threats that he's able to defeat as a hero. They are super ordinary threats. And so whereas an ordinary hero deals with ordinary threats, if you're capable of dealing with super threats, which he is, things that are above, super means above. And so if it's an extraordinarily large threat and you can deal with it, then you could be a superhero. And by that standard, he's definitely a superhero. He's saved the world and the universe multiple times, and so he's clearly a superhero by that standard. Also, I have another argument for why he's a superhero. Just last night, I was reading Batman 26, which was published back in December of 1944. So it's during World War II. And there's a story in Batman number 26 called The Batman of the Year 3000. And as you would guess, it's set in the year 3000. Earth has become a complacent place that gets attacked and taken over by aliens from Saturn, who are led by a warlord named Führer, an obvious cipher for Führer. So this is an Adolf Hitler stand-in. And even though it's the year 3000, the memory of Batman's exploits is so powerful that a man named Brain becomes the Batman of the year 3000 and liberates Earth. And it turns out he's in the future. They run their first and last names together. So Brain's actual name is Bruce Wayne. He's a descendant of the original Bruce Wayne. And if Batman's memory can inspire a revolution 1,000 years from now, he's definitely a superhero.
Wow. I like that argument. That's pretty good.
It's a great argument.
Very good. Man, this show just flew.
It did.
It really did. You know, and my last question, though it's not really a question, it's more of a comment, is if there's a DC heaven, I wonder if DC Purgatory would be watching Batman v Superman over and over again until you're fully sanctified.
Actually, Gary, I think that would be DC hell.
Okay, maybe that's a subject for another program. Jimmy, how can people get a hold of all your writings and stuff?
My main online hub is jimmyakin.com, so they can go there. They can link over from there to Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World, one of my other podcasts where I look at mysteries that are both natural and supernatural. I look at them from the perspectives of faith and reason. Since we just had Easter, I looked at the mystery of Jesus's resurrection and how we know it happened. There's a new Mysterious World every Friday.
Yeah, very good. And I saw that episode. It's a great episode. Everybody listening to my voice who's into apologetics definitely needs to check it out. Well, thank you so much, Jimmy. I appreciate you coming into the show.
My pleasure.
We got to do this again, Jimmy. And hey, maybe one of these days we can geek out at Catholic Comic-Con down there in San Diego. Maybe I can make a flight out. It'd be awesome.
That'd be great.
All right. Well, thank you. So that wraps up our special edition of Hands on Apologetics talking about Batman. It's time for me to shut down the Midwest Command Center over here and turn off the lights of the dojo. Bobby, thank you so much for coming into the dojo and hosting this program.
Thank you for having me.
And coming up next, High Intensity Catholic Talk Radio, the Terry and Jesse Show is coming up next. And also, by the way, I should also mention, since we're talking about the good versus evil, tomorrow's program, we have another master apologist, Carlo Brassard, coming in, and he's going to discuss how to work through the logical problems of evil. So that should be a great show. So anyway, this is fun, Bobby. I'll have to have you back in the show sometime.
Absolutely. Sooner than later.
It's nice to be able to turn and look at somebody rather than a computer monitor. All right. So anyway, folks, thank you for listening. And by the way, if you want to access this podcast and all the other shows of Hands on Apologetics, just go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. That's our head website. Go to our shows, pull up Hands on Apologetics, and you can access all the programs we did from the very beginning to today's show. And again, thank you so much. And everybody have a wonderful and blessed day. Bye-bye.
In the 1990s, I lived and worked in Hollywood. But when my wife Betty's mom took ill, we relocated to Orange County. And it was during this time in our lives that I converted to Catholicism. Once my eyes were opened to the truth, I couldn't learn enough about the faith. But I had less free time than ever, especially with a long commute. That's when I discovered the real value of Catholic audio. Listening to cassette tapes transformed my daily commute into a miniature retreat. And that's the beauty of Virgin Most Powerful Radio today. since the podcasts are archived, you can listen anytime on our smartphone app. I know how listening to Catholic audio can bring you closer to Christ and His Church. So I encourage you to visit the App Store or go to vmpr.org and download the app today. It just might change your life. I'm Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.